You're listening to another great podcast in the MyMac Podcasting Network.
Hey, Melissa.
Hey, Elisa. Take 15.
15, 16 on episode 416 of Geekiest Show Ever. What a cluster that was getting ready to record.
I hope it's not the end of FaceTime because I really liked just being able to use FaceTime and not having to update Skype every single time we open it.
Yeah.
It just takes longer.
Yeah. I have no idea what the problem was, but we're back to Skype for the time being until we figure out what the problem was with FaceTime. So we're back after a few weeks because the real world got in the way.
Darn it. Yeah, now we got to catch up. So where did you travel to and was it a success?
Yeah, we went to Texas, Austin, thankfully.
And you survived and lived to tell
about
it?
Yeah, we survived. In fact, I've got a big old bruise on my big toe because we walked and walked. We probably walked 40 or 50 miles in a couple of days.
And how'd you handle the heat?
It wasn't too bad. It was in the low 80s.
Oh, okay.
So you came at the right time. The pool was too cold, believe it or not. The pool was too cold and it was a little windy, but it was just great just laying in the sun before we would get ready to do whatever it was we were doing at night.
But what was in Texas?
A wedding.
Ah, okay.
We were there for a wedding. If you are either from Austin, live in Austin, or you've been to Austin, you'll know what I'm talking about most likely. Our hotel overlooked the Colorado River / Lady Bird Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, that is an amazing place. Someone told me it's 10 miles around and they have walking trails. And people were out there biking and walking their dogs and putting their kids in strollers. And it was amazing.
Wow. So we had a good time in the Southwest.
That's why I have a bruise on my toe from all that walking. We did so much walking.
I hope you stayed hydrated, though, because it is drier out here.
Yeah. We went, there was a gas station next door, and we bought a few bottles of water, like large bottles of water. And there's a refrigerator in our hotel. So we constantly had water.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that's, so which was
people
good.
People underestimate how important that is.
But it was really a beautiful place to, like I said, walk, bike, run, just to hang out on one side of the lake. Our side, where the hotel is, was a lot of green grass, so you could just, you know, lay on the grass if you wanted to, or kick a ball around, or, you know, the kids could run around and play. There were some places every so often to sit. If you walked on the other side, which is what we did, the last day we were there, you kind of like walk up and over the highway and then you're on the other side. There wasn't any green area because that's the one side was the lake and on the other side of you was where people lived, and then side streets to get back into whatever neighborhood you needed to get into. A lot of kayaking. Tom and the kids rented some kayaks.
Oh, you didn't go?
No, because I think one is an odd number, you know, besides one, obviously is an odd number, but with kayaking, it really should be two people.
I see. Okay.
And since two of my kids never kayaked before, I thought, let them be with, you know, my other son had kayaked and Tom had kayaked. So let them be together. Yeah. So my cousin was there. So he and I just did some walking while they did the kayaking. And we were in the Rainy Avenue district, which is a lot of bars.
Oh, yeah.
It's basically bars with food. Not restaurants that happen to be a bar. They're bars with food.
Interesting.
And one day, I think on Friday, we walked all the way up to the state capitol.
Oh, okay. Is that the pictures that you sent?
Yeah. Went inside and took a self-guided tour, you know, which is interesting. Of course, the same day as the school groups. So there were at least 100 kids.
And you were like having chaperone flashbacks and get me out of here.
Like they went left, we went right. You know, it's like, okay, you guys go over that direction. We're going to go in this direction. The worst part, though, was Sunday coming home. The airports were ridiculous because of the eclipse.
Oh, okay. Wow. So what did you get to see? Any of it?
The eclipse?
Yeah.
We were home for the eclipse and it was too cloudy.
Oh, darn it. Because you might have been in the pathway.
Yeah, totality was in Austin.
Oh, wow. Darn it. And you just missed it. If only you would have stayed like another day, maybe, huh?
No. That was enough. I was ready to
go. That was enough. You're ready. You ready for your own bed.
Tom found a place somewhere in Austin. I don't know where he went. I wasn't with him at the time, but he bought two pairs of glasses. Uh-huh. And we went outside to look, and there were times where we could see a little bit, and then like you turn your head for a second and then look again, and all you saw were clouds.
Mm-hmm. They were just moving in and out.
Yeah, we didn't have... My neighbor told me that he drove up to the Canadian border.
Oh, wow.
And had a really good view.
That's dedication. Yeah. Yeah, I wished I would have had a pair of glasses because I would have been able to see it. I ended up having to do what I have done in the past, which is just to poke a couple holes in an index card and look at it on a reflected piece of paper. I wish I would have done it, and I forgot at the last minute. I should have gotten my colander out because I saw people taking shadow pictures with their colanders, and that looks really cool. I didn't notice it get very cold, though. Several people said that they noticed a change in the temperature, and I was keeping an eye on my dog the whole time, and I didn't notice anything out of the ordinary. It kind of got quiet, if anything, but I didn't notice any change in temperature. My dog didn't act funny, because normally she does when there's a storm coming, so I didn't notice anything different there.
It didn't get dark because we were not in the path of totality, but it definitely dropped.
Yeah, and I wasn't.
When it was over, the temperature went back up.
I think we had something like 80 or 90% or something like that. So we got a portion of it here. I mean, I definitely, if I would have had glasses, I definitely would have seen something because in my shadow pictures, I could clearly see a crescent. So I would have seen at least that. So I got some pretty good shadow pictures.
We were 92%.
Oh, okay. So you could have seen something too if you didn't have the clouds in the way.
Yeah.
Well, at least enough people did get it. I mean, it would have been horrible if like there would have been storms and everything in the path of totality and people would have missed it. But from what I watched from the news reports, it was really, really, really great watching the news reports and hearing people gasp and clap and, you know, get really excited. I thought that was really great. I mean, it really brought a whole bunch of people together. It was really cool. Mm-hmm. Something really nice and positive on the news for a change.
Well, let me change that subject to something nice and negative.
Oh, is this going to be your PSA?
This is my PSA. And you've heard us talk about this before, but it's worth repeating.
Well, it's our duty, yes.
Yes. Earlier this week, I get an email that claimed to be from Social Security. Now, I knew immediately it wasn't because, number one, it came to an email address I don't use for Social Security. Mm-hmm. So right there, I knew this is bogus. But again, if you get something that claims to be your bank or Social Security or any financial institution and it says click here, don't click here.
Yeah, I just don't click on anything.
Go to open a browser, type in the name of your bank or financial institution or whatever it happens to be. And then if it says, well, we have a secured message for you, it'll be there when you go into the website. With this one, it said, for Social Security, it said Social Security as the address. But when you hovered, it was like blah, 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 dot Mexico.
What did you didn't go to the site or did you see a preview or anything?
No.
Use the quick view? No.
Okay. No, you couldn't see anything. It was a link. And it said, it's time to view your annual statement, which is what Social Security does. I do get legitimate emails from Social Security saying, check your statement, which you really should be doing. If you don't have an account, make an account with Social Security. And then this way you can check to make sure that the amount of money you made in a given year is reflected on your statements, because that's going to determine how much your monthly payments will be once you're eligible to collect. And it said, check your statement or go to socialsecurity.com. Mm-hmm. That is not the email address, the web address. Website. The web address is ssa.gov.
Right. This is a gov site, not a com. Yes. Not a com.
Anything that has to do with the federal government ends in .gov, not .com.
Right.
So please make sure you're careful in clicking links.
Or just don't click them. Go straight to the tap.
There is one I do click for certain credit cards because I know that they are legit.
Yeah, like if I've generated something, like I know it's going to send me a link, then I'm more inclined to click it. I still try to avoid that when I can. But, you know, sometimes it's like when you're resetting a password and you have to click the link to verify your email address. I mean, those you kind of have to click.
Right. But like you said, you initiated that.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to change your password. They say, we'll mail you something that you check your email 30 seconds later. There it is. Mm-hmm. There's no way a scammer is going to know.
Yeah.
That you requested that.
Well, at least not now anyway.
Yeah. That could be changed in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody posted on Threads the other day, you know, this is one of the greatest inventions ever. And it was a screenshot of, like, say, when you go to log into a site and it's going to text you a code, a verification code. And it used to be back in the old days, and this is, mind you, this is only with Safari. It doesn't work in any other browser that I'm aware of. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's only a Safari thing, whether you're in iOS on Safari or macOS on Safari. I don't know about Windows. Is there a Safari version for Windows? I assume there would be. I'm not really sure because I don't use Windows. But anyway, if you're in the Safari browser and you are expecting a verification code, I work on teaching my parents and my clients this. Just give it a second. You know, don't, if you do get the text message, don't go tapping the text message or trying to remember what the code is, because I don't know when they started this. It's been like a couple of years now, I think, at least. But if you look right above the top row of the numbers in the keypad, you'll see it says from messages, mm-hmm. and it'll have the verification code. And all you got to do is tap that and it automatically fills it in. Mm-hmm. So that's what the screenshot was that somebody had threaded the other day. And I also noticed that if you wait a little bit longer, sometimes it will also happen with email verification codes. And that's good and bad. It's good that it's happening. It's not happening fast enough. I usually can go retrieve the email, copy the code, and paste it in a quicker amount of time than had I just waited for it to show up in the keypad, you know, above the top row of keys. But what's bad about that is that means that verification codes are still very, very much alive and in use. And remember, we were talking about pass keys before. Now it seems like, oh, well, now everybody's excited about getting these verification codes sent to email and having it automatically populate into the keypad section so you can just tap it. But we're still too, it's just a reminder that we're still too reliant on two-factor authentication and verification codes. And we know darn well that one of the reasons why we need to move away from all of that and go to passkeys is because of SIM jacking. You know, people can have their SIM card hijacked, basically, and those verification codes get intercepted. Well, I would think that even that email might even be less secure, because how easy is it to have somebody's email account hacked, especially when they're reusing the same password everywhere? So you really have to guard your email. It, you know, as much as you guard your cell phone number, don't be giving out your cell phone number to every, you know, subscription, every sweepstakes that you enter. In fact, have you started using the hide my email feature at all?
I have used it. I also use a Google Voice number.
Me too. Yep. Those two things.
That I'll say, well, I don't want you to have my real phone number. So,
because sometimes they insist, if you really want that coupon, they're making it more difficult where they're making you give them your phone
number. So I use hide my email and I use and the Google Voice number. It's like, have at it, call it.
Yep,
no one, thankfully, no one has ever called it.
Oh, really? Huh. Yeah, I use mine for my business.
Or have gotten any spam from it, any texting or anything like that. So
they're pretty good about identifying when it's spam. They either just won't ring it, or, you know, if that number that's calling is a robot and it's on a known list, then it probably gets filtered as spam, just the same way as email does. So, yeah, having those two things is a really good defense system. I've been using the hide my email. I guess I'll did you have anything else you wanted to add to the PSA before I transition us away to a different topic?
I did, and it entered my brain and it left my brain. So you just go ahead and
and it'll come back. It'll come back, I'm sure.
It'll come back at 3 o'clock in the morning.
So speaking of using the hide my email feature, where that has really come in handy for me has been in the process of buying a new car. And so, yay, ding, 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 ding. Finally. I am no longer driving around a car with a check engine light, because the check engine light went out on my old car. I still have it. I didn't get rid of it because I did dump a whole lot of money into it. And it's still very serviceable. It's still very drivable. So I'm holding on to that for the kids. And well, then we'll have it as a backup.
Let's see if this works.
Okay. What's that? Yay. Melissa got a new car. Finally. Yeah, so I still have the old car. The engine light did go out. I don't know if that means that it just gave up. It's like, lady, you got to change this catalytic converter. So we'll have to find out if it passes the emissions test. So if it does, then maybe it was just a fluke. I don't know. I doubt it. I'm still going to save up and be ready to replace that. But so it's sitting there. I'm going to cover it. We're probably going to stick it in my mother-in-law's garage for the time being. And we're going to just put it on hold. And whenever the kids are ready to start learning how to drive. But in the meantime, I did get a brand new car. And I love it. I love it. I love it so much. And so, yes, I have been researching. I've been researching this car for probably over a year now. And, you know, back recently, within the last year or so, the supply and demand has just been awful. I mean, it's just been to the point where, you know, how the housing market was like really upside down and all the crazy prices. Well, that's how it's been with used cars. Because, of course, you know, the first thing we did was start looking for a new used car. And I started looking at the prices and I'm like, this isn't much better than getting a new car. And I'd rather have a brand new car with a brand new warranty. You know what I mean? Because if you're buying a used car, you're getting what's left of that warranty, you know? So I just thought I don't want to inherit any problems. There must be some reason why somebody got rid of it, you know. But by the same token, that's why I'm keeping my old car, because we have all of the history. So when we go to give it to the kids to drive, or if we're going to keep it as a backup, if something does go wrong with one of the other vehicles, or if it needs service, because that was the other big reason why I kept it. Because when I was researching different cars, I mean, I tried joining forums and they all are kind of the same thing. When you join a forum, you're basically entering like an echo chamber. So you're going to hear everybody echoing the same kind of problems and, you know, complaining about this. And so I might as well tell you what I got. So I got a Kia Sportage. It's a 2024, a Kia Sportage Hybrid. And so I had joined the Kia forums on Facebook and Reddit. And I was also comparing it against a Hyundai, because we actually have, my husband and I, we each have, he has, well, had, he had an old Kia Spectra, which is very, very old. And mine is a Hyundai Elantra. And both of those cars are 21 years old, because they're 03s. So they're old enough to drink.
Yeah.
In fact, so we ended up trading the Kia Spectra in. And they gave us a good price for it. I don't want to go into too many details because I don't want to make anybody, you know, angry or envious or have hate mail coming back and saying, you should have done this and you should have done that. But they gave us a decent price for it. And we had to laugh because we're thinking, God, this car is so old. It's probably the same age as our salesman. Because we even asked him, we said, you know, describing what it was. We had pictures. We had the title. You know, we brought in this like inch thick folder, this binder of all of the records, you know, in case they wanted that. They didn't end up wanting it, but we had it, you know, just to basically show them like, hey, even though this car is 21 years old, I mean, it may be a piece of crap to somebody else and it's really, really old, but it still drives. It's got practically brand new tires. In fact, my brother-in-law thought we were going to need it sooner than we were. And so he put a brand new battery in it. So, I mean, it's still going to run. It's still going to get somebody from point A to point B. Just won't be pretty doing it. I mean, the seatbelts still work, but the glove box like doesn't stay closed anymore. You know, it's been beaten and battered by the sun. But the salesman had never even heard of a Spectra. So he's like, what is it, an Optum? And I was like, no, it's a Spectra. He's like, oh, I didn't even know they made those. I was like, yep, they made them a long time ago.
Yeah, like the Edsel and the Model T.
Yeah, I said, and it's both of our cars, our old cars are manuals. So I said, yeah, you could use this to, it's kind of a beater now. So you could use this to teach the young salesmen and salespeople how to drive stick shift. Because we always kind of panic driving stick shift if you have to go somewhere where there's a valet service and if a young person comes out.
Oh, like, yeah.
Do you know how to drive this car?
No, I don't. I can't. I tried once. It's like.
Yeah. See, and I still want to get in it and drive. Well, I have to drive it once in a while just to keep it lubricated and make sure it doesn't get, you know, car tire rot or anything like that. But so it's still there and I'm still going to. It's still my beep. It's still my baby. I'm kind of sentimentally attached to it. But I am really loving this new car. It is like driving a spaceship. It is so modern. Everything is a push button. I kind of like when I'm driving, I'm like, I can't believe it's this comfortable to drive. Like, it's almost too comfortable to drive it. If you can imagine, I don't have to like think about a whole lot of things. And of course, that's like setting my brain on fire, you know, because I am thinking about a lot of things, thinking, you know, well, what does this button do? And what does that button do? And so I am having fun exploring things. And I kind of feel like I learned something new still. You know, it's been a couple of weeks now. I think it hasn't been quite a month. So it's only been a couple of weeks. And we're still finding like a little piece of plastic that we forgot to peel off. I did just recently get some car seat covers for it because it has that faux leather kind of seat. And that's going to be not very smart in the summer. And of course, it's got a dark interior. And it's a kind of a dark charcoal gray color with sparkles in it. So, yeah, so that's my new tech, my new gear. I have to say, though, in evaluating this whole experience, first of all, the buying experience was wonderful. The car dealership, if you are in the Tucson area and you want to know, text me about it. I'll be happy to tell you everything that there is to know about that. But I really liked the car dealership. Didn't think I'd say that. We had a really wonderful experience. They do upcharge you on things like, you know, things that we tried to get rid of. I mean, we did try to negotiate, but there's really only one other dealership in town and we didn't want to have to go to the other one. So, you know, we kind of, not that we were stuck with them. We could have driven, you know, further away, but we just didn't want to do that. So we just kind of accepted it. But we did negotiate some other things. Like, you can't negotiate on the price right now because these things sell themselves. You know, they're in high demand, low supply. You know how it is. It's just a simple supply and demand. So it's not like you're going to get any deals. But I will say what we did learn is if you go in on the very last day of the month, that's when they got to get their quota in. And so they're more willing to, you know, knock a little bit off, you know, or give you like a discount that you wouldn't have gotten, you know, or give you more for your trade-in, those kinds of things. So those were ways that we made out. And so we took their financing because we were able to get another $500 off that way. We had excellent credit, so we didn't have to worry about that. That was, in fact, I think that, I don't know if it was having near perfect credit or because we were putting a large down payment down because we've been saving for a really long time, because that's what the goal was. The goal was to try to get the car payments as low as we possibly could. And at least it'll only be for 4 years. So hopefully that'll go by really fast. But they said, can we borrow your husband for a minute? And we just looked at each other like, okay, we're kind of like, we're like Gen Xers. We're like, right. We're like always ready to be like, you know, basically manipulated or, you know, left to fend for ourselves or something. We're like, what is this? This is some kind of sales tactic. Are they separating us to see if like our stories change? We were all like paranoid about it. And so he comes back a minute later and here they took him to the back to give him, the sales manager said, I think you should be the one to give these to her, and came back with this big, huge, long, you know, plastic container of a dozen long stem red roses with a big bow on it. And I was just like really shocked. I was like, wow, I wasn't expecting that.
Why?
I don't exactly know. I think just because we had bought the car and it was like their way of saying congratulations. So that was before we signed like all the paperwork and everything. I don't exactly know.
Never heard that.
Yeah,
never
I never
heard
did
of anyone
either.
Doing that.
Yeah, and my husband said they basically at this one particular dealership, they have this whole fridge full of these containers of long, and they were long stem red roses, a whole dozen of them. They were gorgeous. They lasted for several days and I had them in a bouquet.
But that's a little something that you're going to remember. Yeah. And when it's time for you to buy another car or tell a friend, you're going to go there. Even if they charge maybe a little bit more than the other dealership that you didn't want to go to.
Right.
You might say, but look what they did. They treated us well.
They did. I felt like I got treated very, very well. In fact, and I've seen it in a few pictures. So I did join this one Facebook group that I really, really like because it is a lot more positive vibes. A lot more people are saying things that they like about the car instead of things that, and if they do talk about it, it's usually under under the premise of like, I'm having this problem. Has anybody else had this problem? But not like bashing the car. And there's not this constant, like, you should have bought a Toyota or you should have bought a Honda. Because that's, I don't know if you get that in other groups, but I've seen it at least the Hyundai and the Kia groups. Everybody will come in there as like trolling, is like, you should have bought a Toyota. You should have bought a, it's always a Honda or Toyota. It's never a
but
Ford
no car.
Or,
well, yeah. I was going to say, no car is perfect, yeah. But yeah, yeah, run from Ford. We've had Fords. They,
yeah, me too.
When they say fix or repair daily, they
exactly.
ain't kidding. They
exactly.
ain't kidding.
That was my very first car that I owned, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, but I mean, I figure we both, I mean, what else can I say? Both of us have had this Kia and Hyundai for 21 years. Both of us. It's not like just one of us had one of the brands and it crapped out on us and the other one had one for a longer time. Both of us have taken very good care of our cars and they both have lasted us 21 years. And my Elantra has 176,000 miles on it. Even if, I mean, and it's a 5-speed transmission, it's a manual transmission. Even if that car needs a new engine, it's still going to cost less for one of my kiddos to buy a new engine for it than it will to buy a whole new brand new car. And even like, so maybe it won't cost as much to buy a used car. But again, when you're buying a used car, you don't know what the history is of it. This one, I've got an inch thick folder of all of the receipts from all of the work. I can go through any receipt and say, okay, this is when this was replaced. So it's this, you know, this part is this many years old and this is when the clutch was replaced and, you know, yada, yada. I mean, pretty much like all the parts are being replaced on it in 21 years time. I've probably purchased that whole car twice over, you know what I mean? For all of the work that we've put into it. But it's lasted. It's gotten us across the country multiple times. It's always, I can't say it's always been like, you know, 100% reliable because, you know, the radiator busted on me, but it's always gotten me home at some point in time. Like one time I had to stop driving it, but it's always gotten me close to home to the point where I could just get a ride, you know, for the rest of the way. Even when the radiator blew up on me, you know, it looked like a steam kettle. Steam was coming out of it. I got it, you know, managed to get it home. I called my dad. My dad was like, yeah, it's probably the radiator. Don't drive it anymore. Call it the mechanic. I called the mechanic, told him what it was. He said, yep, it's probably radiator. Got my second opinion. And USAA sent a tow truck. From the start to finish, I think it was like 45 minutes till experienced the problem, got it home, got it towed, and it was at the place. And I got it back the same day with a brand new radiator.
Wow.
I mean, yeah. So like those are the kinds of experiences that I've had this with this car for 21 years. It's never really left me sit for more than a couple of days. And that's because I was waiting for parts. So it's been, you know, mostly reliable. So I think it's going to be a decent, it could be that just the mechanics just want to keep making money off of me, but they've all, and I haven't been in that many, but several of the mechanics have said, yeah, this is a really great hand-me-down car because it's easy to fix and you can get parts for it. And it, you know, it's sure it's going to cost a lot, but I mean, now, I mean, look at, we're driving a computer, you know what I mean? If something goes out and it's going to be like a logic board or something, and it's probably going to cost as much as half the car. So it's not as expensive to fix an older car as it is a newer car because of all the components. And so for that reason, I did get the extended warranty on the mechanical breakdown. I wasn't going to because you know what they say about warranties. They overcharge and they're not worth it. And I know that that's probably true. And maybe against my better judgment, we did. And we did get him to go down on the price because we, you know, kind of hemmed and hawed. And so he went down on the price. But it's still, even with the warranty, we did not go above our budget. We didn't tell him what the budget was, but we still kept it. And we're still able to get in with the price of the car, between that, the discounts, and the warranty added on, tacked onto it. We still were $10 under budget each month for what we budgeted for a car payment. So
good.
I think we did pretty well.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm really happy with it. I mean, now I have that peace of mind knowing that I, you know, they keep saying, well, you know, if you get the mechanical breakdown, like everything's covered for 10 years. So instead, if I wouldn't have gotten it, it would have been covered for 3 years. Now the whole entire car is under warranty for 10 years. So it's 10 years. I think, you know, the way that I see it, in 10 years time, the only money that I should be dumping into this is going to be for tires and oil changes.
Right.
You know, and windshield wiper blades, you know, consumables and things like that, things that wear out. So, I mean, I'm hoping, knock on wood, and I hope that's how it goes because Lord knows I've been spending a lot of money for the last couple of years. I should be good for a while, you know. So, yeah, I'm really, really happy with the way the car drives. It handles beautifully. The hybrid is way peppier. I mean, I didn't, to be fair, I did not test drive a fuel version, but after researching it for so long, that's all I ever heard was people comparing the hybrid to the fuel version and saying how underwhelming the speed was in the fuel version. And after driving a stick shift where you can downshift into gear and giddy up, you know what I mean? I'm used to having that kind of power, even a little dinky sedan, right? And this has, when you put it in a sport mode, it's like butter. It's amazing.
With the hybrid, as you drive, it charges the battery?
Yes.
So that you can do electric?
Yep. It's got regenerative braking. So I don't quite understand all of the physics behind that. We should have my husband on. He will give you a whole demonstration on how regenerative braking works and the physics behind it and all that. So that's partially another reason why we ended up with hybrid, because I'm married to a science teacher, so be kind of remiss if we didn't go with the new technology there. We're not quite ready for the whole EV experience because we looked into the plug-in, but again, that was like so much more expensive. And what it boiled down to in the reviews that I read in and out till my eyes bled, basically you had to really want the plug-in because it's not like it was going to save you that much more money because you're spending so much money on the front end that it would really take you a really long time to realize the savings of having the plug-in. Now, if I could have, if money was no object and if I could have afforded a plug-in hybrid, a FEV, I probably, with the type of errands that I run and driving the kids back and forth to school and going to clients and things like that, I could probably, have plugged it in and just only ever ran back and forth on EV power. Like I probably would hardly ever use gasoline unless we went on a long trip. That's probably the only time that I would ever put gas in it is for that reason. And for this, it's still in the break-in period, so I won't know for quite some time what the true mileage is of it. But even just in the break-in period, when I read other people's reviews, they were really disappointed because they were only getting in the 20s, like 29, somewhere around there, or 24. And I thought, wow, are you really hauling a lot of stuff or, what's going on? It could be that they're doing a lot of highway driving, whereas I'm doing a lot of highway driving, but I'm also doing a lot of in-town short trips. And plus, I drive the same highway twice a day, twice in the morning and then twice in the afternoon. So I'm doing the same, zip up, zip down, but lots of short trips here and there, lots of stop and go traffic, especially depending, in the afternoon, it gets really backed up. So I'm doing a lot of regenerative braking. So I have, there's all these different screens you can put on. And I really do like to watch the screen where it shows you this really cool illustration of when the battery is charging. I mean, you can tell based on the tack on the console when you're in EV mode versus when you're in fuel mode. And plus the RPMs aren't moving. So it sounds like a spaceship. I haven't figured out. And see, I'm new to this whole game. So are any of your cars hybrid? Are they all fuel?
No.
Have you been around any hybrid cars or EVs at all?
No.
So you haven't heard what they sound like or don't sound like?
No.
So evidently, the thing is that EV cars don't have a sound. It is so quiet. So I read an article, I should try to see if I can find that. It was on PBS somewhere, that I guess there was some kind of a law or something that because they're so quiet, you have to add a sound. So like a manufactured engine kind of sound, because if not, then pedestrians can't hear you coming. And that's really, really true because there are times when I'm sitting in the garage or if I'm just idling, it makes no sound at all. It is on and the engine is running, but it's quiet. There's no sound. And once you start to move forward, or especially if you back up, it doesn't. Somebody said a while ago that it had like a really annoying beeping kind of sound, but this, they must have changed it for the 2024, or maybe there's a setting that I haven't found yet. I mean, I've dug around in everything that I could think of, but I haven't found if you can change the backup sound, but it doesn't beep. It just has like this ethereal sound, like somebody described as like the angels singing. It does. I'll have to see if I can record it sometime.
But is that for you to hear or for me as the pedestrian to hear?
For both. Okay. It's mostly for the benefit of the person outside the car so that you can hear me approaching a stop sign or approaching a crosswalk. Because if it didn't have that manufactured sound, you wouldn't hear it at all. Now in the upper trim, so we got like the middle trim, there's how it is with cars and computers the same and phones nowadays, there's all these trim levels. And the EX trim is what it's called. It's the middle of the line trim. And that, and I do agree with all of the assessments, is that that is the best value trim. It's like the best bang for your buck because it does give you a lot more features than the lowest trim. The trim above that then has a lot more technology in it. It's a lot more things that are going to break, a lot more sensors, more cameras that could go bad. And those features are basically like not necessary and just nice to have. So we did test drive the upper trim one. Of course, they're going to make you test drive the upper trim one. You know, it's like, you know, they're playing the psychological game. You know what they're doing. And I have to say, now that I have, and what we did is, so we kind of compromised. We got the middle trim, but then we added on the upgraded package so that we have the sunroof and the LED lights. So I drove it the other night for the very first time in the evening, and I was a little bit worried because I don't like to drive at night, but it was pretty good because a lot of people complained about the visibility, but I didn't seem to have any problem, but it could be because I have the LED projection headlights. So I think that's what got added. I think they added that and rear curtain bag airbags in the 2024 model. So I'm glad that I waited. I'm glad that I waited for those little extras. I'm really happy that we got the upgrade. It is a little difficult to use a sunroof here in Arizona. I won't lie. There was one morning I used it and I thought, oh my God, I'm like blinded. Like the sun was just kind of hitting my sunglasses from up above in an angle that made it difficult to see. So yeah,
I'm the only person that hates sunroofs.
Well, and I could see why. I mean, it wasn't like my first choice. I wasn't like, oh, I have to have a sunroof. My husband would just wanted it. It was just kind of the thing that we wanted, but it wasn't a deal breaker. But when we found out that we could add it on as a package, then we went for it because, you know, I'm approaching 50. He already turned 50. So this is our midlife crisis present to ourselves.
I also refuse to use cruise control.
Really? Oh, how come?
I don't like it. I don't feel like I'm in control. I feel like it's laziness. Tom uses it when we travel. Well, on the highway. He will put it in cruise, and mm-hmm. I see his feet kind of pulling back, and I'm just like, no, I want my foot right next to the brake, just in case.
I can see that for sure, because it does. When I do put it on, it feels like, oh, is this what it would be like to have a self-driving car? Because wait till you hear about this next feature. But before I tell you about that, the reason I do use cruise control, at least I try to, is only for the fuel saving. Because when you use cruise control, it does raise your miles per gallon because it's maintaining a speed. And so you're not constantly, you know, braking and accelerating, which is the point of regenerative braking. Like, you're supposed to do that to increase your battery charging. But as far as your miles per gallon go, when you maintain an average speed, and I think it'll be interesting because one of the things is, if you, like, I'm a lead foot, I'll admit that. Mm-hmm. I do have to adjust my driving because when the faster you go, the more fuel you're going to use. And if you're not maintaining a consistent speed, then you also chew through fuel too. So I use cruise control for the fuel saving properties. But out here, our minimum is 65 miles per hour. What is it in New York? What is your, is it 55?
It depends where you are. It's certain places it's 55, so other places it's 65.
Okay, because like I came from out east and it was 55, and I remember thinking, wow, it's, and on some stretches of highway it's 75. So, but I think they said that like 62 is like the sweet spot of a speed as far as like the gas saving properties.
62 is putt-putting to me.
Exactly.
Usually 75, 80.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
exactly.
I have a lead foot.
Except for the end of the month when the cops are out and they're trying to make their quota.
I know where they live. So, so I'm like, oh, got to slow down for this place because this is where they always are.
Exactly. Exactly. Plus, I think the maps feature has like a built-in fuzz buster in it. Like, it'll say speed check ahead. So that's handy. We were talking about maps the last time, and I still haven't given Google Maps or Waze a try, but I will. That'll be one of my future tests. But the other feature I was going to tell you about before I forget, and I can't believe I remembered it for this long, is this has lane keep assist built in.
Yeah.
That would drive you nuts, I bet. Because drives the wheel for you. It turns it.
Oh, okay. I thought it was something else because I know someone in his car, it's got, I think it has the same name or something similar, where if you start to shift in your lane, it will beep. Mm-hmm.
No, that's even something different. So this one doesn't beep. It doesn't give you an audible thing, but it'll turn the wheel. So for example, I don't rely on it, but I did notice it that it did it once. I was blowing my nose and I didn't put my hands. I wasn't done. And I didn't put my hands on the wheel because I always like to like wipe my hands and everything because I'm really like germaphobe. But as I was blowing my nose, I noticed that I started to drift a little bit, not because the wheels are unbalanced because they're brand new and they're aligned and everything, but because of the road, the way the road goes. And so it started to drift over in the other lane and I watched the steering wheel and I felt it pull itself back. I was like, oh, that's interesting. What it does do is it gives you a little blinking indicator in green that looks like a car in between two lanes, like two curved lanes. So that icon blinks. When you're staying in the lane, it remains solid green. But if you start to drift one way or the other, it blinks to let you know, like, hey, and you can kind of see it in your peripheral vision, kind of lets you know, like, hey, you're not keeping in the lane. And I think that's like a little bit of a warning that if you drift too far, it's going to self-correct itself. So it is, I think that this car, as much, oh, it makes me so nervous even thinking about it, a brand new car. But I have to say that this would be a really good car for the kids to learn to drive in because it is very safe. It's won awards, you know, for the safety features and the airbags and all that kind of stuff. Of course, I don't want to have to prove that.
Now, is really that a feature that you can turn off if you don't like it?
You can. I have chosen to leave all of the stuff turned on because I want to experience it first before I go disabling anything. But I think I just will keep it on. I mean, I've been driving manual transmission for 30 years, right? I'm not going to say like, oh, I'm like the best driver because, I mean, I do have a lead foot, but I'm getting older too. And my vision isn't as good as it used to be. So I do kind of want to have these little like bowling bumper guards.
There's one feature in my car that I hate. Like with passion.
And you can't turn it off?
No, I do turn it off.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what the exact name of it is, but when you're driving, you come to a stoplight.
Okay.
It automatically kind of shuts down the engine. It doesn't shut down the engine, but it like kind of lower. I don't know what the right word is, like lowers the engine.
Mm-hmm. Mine does that too.
And if you're at a long stoplight, it shuts off the engine.
Yeah. Yep.
And then as soon as you hit the gas again, then it kind of, you can hear it. Mm-hmm. It's like it's restarting.
Yeah.
I hate it. And then what it does is it takes the radio and it lowers the volume.
Oh, interesting.
Because the theory behind it is when you're driving, there's road noise.
Right.
So it makes the radio louder to what you had before. And then when you're sitting, there's no road noise, so it lowers it. Oh my God.
Oh.
I hate it.
So there is a feature about volume depending on the speed that it's going, but that was something I could turn on. It wasn't turned on by default, and I left it off because it didn't sound attractive to me.
Yeah. With the one with the volume, I was able to turn off. So my volume stays the same. I have to change it no matter what.
Okay.
As far as the engine, as soon as I get in the car, there's a button on the dashboard that I click because it is on by default and there's no way to permanently turn it off by default. So every time I get in the car, hit that button. Yeah. And then that turns off so when I take my son's car, if like I'll take his car if mine is in the shop.
Yeah.
He has hit on his. And I'll be driving and then the volume goes down. Like, oh, it's bad enough you don't have Sirius XM. I have to deal with this too.
That's so funny. And you can't disable it in his or you just don't want to. Okay.
You can't disable it.
Oh, interesting.
I shouldn't rephrase that. You can't. It's not a feature that you can hit a button and permanently turn on or permanently turn off. There's the button on my dashboard.
So yours is like a toggle switch kind of.
Yeah, where I have to, like, if I see that little light on. Yeah. So every time I get out of the car, it turns itself back
on.
On.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have to turn the button on to turn the feature off.
Now, is it so when you do press that button, so now what happens when you come to a stop? It just stays in idle mode. It doesn't shut off the engine.
Nothing happens. Yeah. Oh, God, I hate it so much.
Yeah, because I hear it happening with other cars. I hear the car start up again. And when I first started hearing that, because I didn't know what it was, and I hadn't started the research on the hybrid versus EV versus fuel and stuff, and I would hear that because there's parts where For the most part, traffic flows here in Tucson, but there are parts where it gets very congested and it is kind of a parking lot. And it feels like I'm back east again because I grew up being used to that and came out here and I thought, wow, there's not a lot of sitting around, but it just depends on where you are. And so there is a part where it is a lot of sitting. There's a really long light. And so I would hear the car next to me whenever it was. I wouldn't hear it turn off, but I would hear it turn back on again. And it was like somebody turned the ignition on. And I thought, what a waste of energy. Like, it's my dad would always say, like, don't turn the car off, just leave it run, because you end up using more fuel to start the car up all over again. And I thought, wow, what a waste. And then I learned that, oh, that's actually a feature that it turns itself off when you're idling to conserve power, to conserve gas, it shuts the engine off. So you're right. I don't know if there's a name for it. There is some, like in my car, it's just regenerative braking. It's not an engine off on.
Yeah, there is a name to it. I just don't know what it is. And yeah. It doesn't turn the engine off unless you've been sitting there for a certain amount of time, but it does kind of lower it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the right terminology.
Yeah, because but there are some that actually turn it off because then you hear the ignition kick back on again. So
yeah,
I think
like,
that means that one's turning off.
You know, certain intersections, you know, when you have, like five lanes in each direction, you're sitting there for three, four minutes before you get to go again, your engine's going to turn off. Mm-hmm. And you can feel it's like a kick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As opposed to just turning the car on, it's almost like you can feel a kick.
Huh.
Because if Tom is driving, sometimes I'll forget because for me, it's just muscle memory. I get in, boom, hit that button.
Right.
Don't always do it as a passenger. And when I feel the kick, I'm like, oh, I forgot to do that. You know, so I reach over and I turn the button on.
I think the difference is probably in the fuel engine versus the hybrid engine. So I think when the engine is being shut off or in a low idle state and then it's being reignited again, I think that's a fuel. I mean, I could be wrong. Somebody that's a gearhead can tell me otherwise. But because I'm in a hybrid, I don't believe that the engine shuts off because I think it would tell me that, like, because it always says ready, right? It always says ready or EV ready. And I know that when I come to a stop, I know it's still running. Like, I know the engine is still running. But when I go to start again, like, it doesn't turn on. You know what I mean? It's already still been on. So I think it just goes into a low idle mode, but it's still in an EV mode. So my engine is still on, but it's in electric mode. So that's why you don't hear it like, you know, it doesn't start up. So I think it's just in some kind of conservation mode. When I sit there long enough, I do notice a bit of a difference, but I know it's in EV mode. But then, because I don't always hear I'll just call it the angels singing. I got to record it and play it for you. Or maybe I can find it online somewhere. But I wasn't prepared for that. I wasn't prepared for that sound because when we test drove it, there must have been a difference in the trim level. I don't remember hearing that sound. But you know how when you test drive something for the first time, you're just thinking about all these other things. And I don't know, my brain was just focused on how's it going to handle on turns and hills and, you know, what's it going
to
be like?
Where's the windshield wiper? Where are the directionals? Because you're used to being on the right. Now they're on the left.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. This wasn't too much of a difference. And I kind of think that may be because Kia and Hyundai are very related somehow. Like they use the same engine specs and things. So there are like the windshield wiper, the blinker, all that stuff is all in the same. On my stick, it's very intuitive. In other words, it's very much similar to what I'm used to. So I didn't have to make any kind of a mind adjustment as far as that was concerned. But I forgot my next train of thought there. But the sound I wasn't prepared for because when we test drove the higher trim level, I don't recall hearing that because I don't think I was paying attention to it. I remember that they did point out the backup sound and I thought, well, that's kind of irritating. But in this car, there is no irritating backup sound that I can discern. It's just this angel singing sound when you're pulling in when it's in EV mode, but only when it's in EV mode. When it's in fuel mode, it's quiet. And it's just like a very, very quiet engine. So you do hear somewhat of an engine noise, but it's just incredibly quiet. But then when it's in EV mode, there's nothing and until you start to pull forward. So like if you're just sitting there idling, it doesn't make a noise. So it's kind of creepy. It's like, is it on? I have to keep checking, you know, I have to keep like making sure that it's on. And one time I did exit the vehicle and it's nice because it reminds you. And it says the engine's still on, dummy.
Yeah.
I did that one time. It'll remind you to check the back seat. Which, I mean, my kids are old enough, I don't have to check the back seat, but I still do like the reminder because I leave my purse back there sometimes. So I'm checking for a person, not the kids. So the reminder to check the back seat is nice. If you are idling or if you're at a stop sign, and if you're like, this has happened to me a couple times as I'm like goofing around on the screen, it'll beep at you and tell you that the car in front of you pulled forward. So that's a nice reminder. What else? Oh, we were talking about the lane keep assist. So it's called lane keep assist, and I described that, and you'll feel it, you know, kind of tug. I laugh every time I think about it because I remember back in the old days before we had, you know, it was very, very different times and a very different mind of thinking. When I was a little girl, you know, we'd go to like family parties and stuff like that, and my dad would drink and drive because, you know, we just didn't know any better back then. And I remember him, you know, pulling out with a cup of beer in his hand, and he would like drive he would be drinking something. Well, he's always drank and drive, but it's coffee, you know, but he's really good about, he's got really long legs. And so he would steer with his knees. I just remember like him backing out and drinking, you know, something in a drink and drinking it at the same time while he's backing up, like with no hand or just one hand and using his knees to steer. And so I always think of my dad when it's like lane keep assist. it's like built in dad driving with his knees mode for me. So that cracks me up. But then the beeping noise that you were talking about, this is another feature that I really like, especially because this is a much bigger car than what I'm used to. This is an SUV, and I forget what all the specs are, but just let's say, I mean, I was driving a tiny little sedan, a little four-seater sedan. This is a 5-passenger SUV. It doesn't have a third row, but it's big, and it's got a lot of room in the back. When you fold the seats down in the back, you've got 70 cubic feet of, you know, of storage of, you know, cargo space. So it's really, really large. It's like best in its class for cargo area. And so having the blinkers on the side, and then it'll let you know if someone's in your blind spot, it'll blink red. But if you've not checked the mirror first and you put on your blinker, then it will duck the audio and it will beep really loud to let you know that someone's in your blind spot. Do not get over in the lane. Either the left or the right. So I really like that feature because I noticed that some really small cars have gotten behind me and I can't see them at all. And yeah, it's really the mirror that it's that sensor that detects it, because I'll go to put on my turn signal and think, where did you come from?
You know? You got in your blind spot.
Yeah. So it's a large blind spot. So, I mean, I feel like I have really great visibility, but having that sensor is like really, really handy. I still look, like even when I'm backing up, I have the nice camera. I am slowly getting used to it, but I still feel, like you said about the cruise control, to me, I feel like the backup camera is being lazy. I mean, I'll use it because it is an added layer of safety, but I still have to look. So I have to like look, you know, check the camera, check my blind spots, because I don't know that it's going to detect somebody like jutting out, you know.
Oh, I now, still look over my shoulder. I have the backup camera. I still look over my shoulder when I'm changing lanes. Always, always, always. The nice thing about the backup camera is when you're in a parking lot and you're backing up, and you know how like the car behind you, like in the next lane, you think you're going to hit them, but you look in your backup camera and you go, oh, I got plenty of room, so I don't have to like pull forward, pull back, pull forward, pull back. Yep. You can just
that
watch.
That is really nice.
That's what I love about the backup camera.
That I really do wish I had the front camera, though, like talking about the different trim. Like there are things that I'm thinking about, like if I would have had more money, because we made like a whole spreadsheet. I should send you the spreadsheet. I think you would like to see that. We made a whole spreadsheet of like all the different, well, I made the spreadsheet. My husband helped me with the formulas and the math and everything. But we kind of calculated, well, what if we did go up to the next trim? Because we were thinking we could afford it and we were going to go for it. But then if we were going to go up to the next trim, I wanted the red, because you can only get the red in that upper trim level. But the red is like a unicorn. Like, it's just not a color that they make very often. You have to special order it. It takes months to get in. So I wasn't really wanting to wait that long, especially driving a car with a catalytic converter that could go any minute. So that kept us from doing it. Plus also the price. It's one thing to say, oh, well, I could afford the monthly payments if I calculated this way. But then we wouldn't have been able to afford it, because once you tack on the warranty or any of the extra features that you thought you'd get them to remove and they just won't budge, plus the interest, it ended up being like just not affordable. You know what I mean? It was just outside of our budget, outside of our wheelhouse.
So you do a spreadsheet for a car. I do spreadsheets for cruises.
Oh, yeah. And if I was going to go on a cruise, I probably would, too.
Do I'd be I like, want to hey, do this I... one or this one?
Oh, yeah. I'd be like, hey, Lisa, can I use your template? Because I got to make a spreadsheet. I do spreadsheets for pretty much everything. Any kind of, I mean, you should have seen the one that we made for the house buying process. It was it was sheets, many, many sheets of different. We just tried to slice it and dice it every which way. And that's what I did with this. I went to the website. I took all of the features, like I copied and pasted them and made them into two columns. And I was like, okay. And what it ended up boiling down to was there were 17 features. Now, mind you, we were adding on the sunroof and the LED lights. And there was a couple of other things that were like built in with that. I can't remember what they were off the top of my head right now. But I made two columns. I was okay, here are the ones that we're adding. What's left over? There was 17 features that were a difference between the EX premium package that we got and the SX, you know, upper level trim. And I was like, okay, can we live without these 17 features? They were not all deal breakers, like the Harman Kardon stereo. This stereo is wonderful. I am super impressed with the stock stereo. I mean, I know I like good sound quality, but I wasn't going to spend that much more. Like, it wasn't worth it to go into more debt and extend our payoff period for the stereo. You know what I mean? Like, single feature that was in that list of 17, I was like, I would not go into more debt for that. You know what I mean? So it had to be something like I was willing to pay another 2 years on for that feature. And I wasn't willing to do it. But let's see, one of them that I think I don't necessarily miss, but like if I had the money, it would be really nice to have like that column. It would be the seat adjustment. In the upper trim, you can press a button on the door and it'll memorize your seat position between Nate and me. That would be really super nice
to have.
Tom's
car has that.
Yeah. And so I am kind of missing that feature when it's not often because it's more or less my car, but you know, he'll drive it sometimes. And so there is a big adjustment that we have to make, or especially for him because I'm so short. I tell him like he has to get used to just like, all right, don't even bother getting into it. Just push the seat back. But because it's electronic, you kind of like wait.
That's the funny thing. I had taken Tom's car. I forgot that he had the memory, and and he got in and his knees were up to his chin.
No. That's right, because we're both really short. Yeah. Poor guys. So yeah, that's something he has to get used to. So the memory seat would have been really nice to have. Another blind spot feature that the upper trim has is on the dash, right there in front of you, next to the gears, the speedometer and everything, there's a little video that would play. As soon as you turn on your turn signal, it will show you what your blind spot looks like. So you would actually be able to see it instead of looking over your shoulder. But that, I just, like, it would be nice to have. But even on the test drive, I found myself just not looking at it because I was too weirded out by all the new, you know, space and blind spots. So I was still looking over my shoulder. So I could have gotten used to that one. But it would be nice to have. But again, not a deal breaker. So, but not as nice to have as the memory seat button. That would be really nice. And what was the other thing? Oh, so lane keep assist. So when not lane keep assist, blind spot monitoring and warning. So it will warn you if you're going to put on your turn signal and try to get over, it'll warn you by, you know, kind of beeping at you really loudly. But then if you were, say, backing up out of a space or going forward, that was another thing along with the memory button for the seats that I really would like to have is a camera in the front because I think it's just a matter of time and I got to get used to it. I still don't really know where the nose is. Like I know
exactly.
Where it is.
That's but my I problem. Think,
yeah, pulling forward, I still end up leaving way too much space because it's actually shorter than I think it is. I actually have way more room than I think I do. Mm-hmm. So I have to get used to pulling forward more. Plus, the other thing, too, is that it sits up higher. So I don't have to worry as much about crunching the front over the parking space divider. Because in the lower cars, we always scrape over that. Nate always scrapes over that and it drives him mad. I got used to it with my Elantra. I never scraped. But in this one, it's so much higher that I don't think I have to worry about scraping. But I still don't want to bump the tires up to it. So that I would really like to see is something in the front. But, you know, actually, I just thought of that because my dad won't hear this. It's safe to say it. But I did just get my dad. He has an old Mustang. And he built a ramp in his backyard that he's parking his Mustang on. And so for his birthday, I got him a backup camera that he can mount on his license plate because it's an old like 91 or 92 Mustang or something. So it's pretty old. And so I got him a backup camera so he'll be able to use that so he can see to get onto the ramp. And somebody in the comments did say that they were using it for a forward-facing camera on their truck. And I thought, well, maybe that's what I could do. Maybe I could add a forward-facing camera somewhere. Like I could get a license plate, like a decorative one. I know you guys have to have front and rear license plates, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know why that is. Yeah. So we don't here. We only have to have a back license plate. So I just have a decorative one on the front just so you don't see the markings or the holes. And they make a camera that you can mount on the license plate. So that's what I just thought of that now. I think that's what I will end up doing is adding a forward-facing camera. So that'll be cool. So yeah, I'll have to tinker with that. That's the phase that I'm in now with this new car is like I keep thinking about like things I can do to like modify it and decorate it. And I haven't really done much, but I did get new seat covers, like I told you, because even the fake leather is just not... No. We're just not doing that in Arizona. So I did get a nice looking seat covers for it. I also got a dash cam that faces forward, but I do not like it. I got it around Black Friday. I think I mentioned it in a previous episode. It is, you get what you pay for. It's definitely a $40 dash cam. It works. It serves the purpose. I did almost get into an accident a couple of days ago where somebody came over into my lane and they did not see me. And I had to swerve out and around into the next lane. And thank goodness. I mean, I was really proud of the car because the car really handled. Like, it really did what I needed it to do when I needed it to do it. And I was really happy about that. But of course, my heart was beating and it's one of those things where it happens like in slow motion, but it fast all at the same time.
And you're like, oh, thank goodness there's nobody in the other lane so that you could swerve. I've had it happen. I think we all have.
Yeah. I mean, I can't believe that I swerved out of the way in enough time that I didn't get, you know, that the car didn't touch me. Like, I don't even think they realized. I really don't. I mean, I just kept going because I don't even think they saw me. But it was one of those things where I just thought, no, my brand new car. There it goes. I mean, it would have been the rear. It would have been the passenger rear side. I would have gotten clipped is what would have happened if I didn't get out of there fast enough. Yeah, but still, like, then it would have been in the shop and I would have had my trusty little Elantra.
And that person would have been driving away and not responsible.
Exactly. So I have good insurance, but I don't want to have to use it. So that's a new car. I'll be probably talking about it and gushing about it for quite a while. I do want to get a new dash cam, so I will be looking into that. We'll wrap up with this unless there's anything else. And I don't want to talk about it too much because I'm just not really that happy. The CarPlay experience. Like I said, I love the car. And the technology is really cool. I love all the features. I love the way it operates. It makes sense. It's comfortable. It's wonderful. But the CarPlay is a little bit underwhelming. I don't know what I was expecting. I guess I was expecting more. I've heard so many people talk it up and I've watched some reviews on it and how it operates. But for some reason, I don't know, just now that I'm using it, I'm not as thrilled about it. Like, for example, I wish there was more wallpaper selections. I wish you could actually just upload one of your own wallpapers to it. Like, why isn't that a thing? It doesn't give you, like, you can't use Find My. The map, I'm slowly getting used to this, but like when I would use my phone in a dash mount, I'm used to being able to see a couple steps ahead. Like, okay, you know, I know where that is. I got to get into this lane. So I'm ready to make the turn this way, right? I don't want to rely on Siri telling me at the very last minute, okay, turn here. Like, no, I wasn't ready. I'm not in the right lane. And so a couple times, once or twice, that's happened. So I'm slowly getting used to it. I just have to get better at zooming out on the map and seeing what street I have to get to and just kind of thinking a step or two ahead, but I have like poor working memory. So that's why I really liked it on the phone in Apple Maps where it gives you the next couple of steps. I mean, you can tap on it, you can view the whole path that you're going to take, the whole turn by turn set of instructions. And you can see them if you swipe through, you can see, okay, this is coming next. But you can't do that in the maps in CarPlay. But there again, I mean, I do need to try.
But have you used Google?
I have not.
Yes, yet. I don't have CarPlay. Tom does. Use Google.
Yeah, so I will try Google next and see if that's a better experience. I'm also going to try Waze So I have those two things to try. I'm also a little underwhelmed with the podcasts, the Apple Podcast app. There's not enough in that to really make me happy. So I'm going to try other podcast apps. So I will be probably talking about this topic for quite a while. So hopefully people won't get bored. We'll try to come up with some other topics, but that's kind of my life right now. It's exciting, and the future is here finally. And I'm learning all kinds of things about this. I would also love to see in the future the ability to add a key to Apple Wallet. I'm really, really disappointed that the other models of cars in Kia's lineup, the Fort or the Forte, that is a step down from the Sportage. And like, that's, I guess, the little sedan model, which gets rave reviews in the gas mileage. It has like the best gas mileage, but it's a little too small for our needs. But even that has a digital Apple key in the Apple Wallet. So why didn't they? It's almost as if, like, if you look at the lineup, they just cut the Sportage out, and I don't know why that is. So maybe it'll come over on a firmware update. So we'll see what happens. But I will really, really be, I think when I'm done here, I think I'm going to go straight to the Apple website, and I'm going to be like, hey, what's up with the Sportage? Like, why is it left out? Is it you or is it them? I don't know, but somebody's gotta fix this, because I want a darn key. Having to use the key fob, I mean, it's nice, but it's like a whole big key fob that, like, I had to go and get a purple cover for, of course. But now I have to carry that around. And so I'm like, I'm juggling more keys. And so, yeah. So I know, first world problems, like, yeah. Wah, wah, wah. But I mean, when you spend $40,000 on a car, you kind of have an expectation as to, like, what, you know, you really should have versus what just was like an afterthought or an oversight. So get with the program. Anyway, you'll be hearing more from me about this whole experience. Do you have anything else that you wanted to share until next time?
That was it. I just want to know how listeners can get in touch with us.
Yeah, it's been a little while. It's been a minute, hasn't it? We do have a website still, geekiestshowever.com, and you can click on our contact tab. You can also email us the old school way, podcast@geekiestshowever.com. is our email address. And for those of you living in the future, Alisa, you want to tell us where we are on socials?
Yeah, on Mastodon, we are, let's see, what are we on Mastodon?
We are mastodon.social, I think. No, you are.
I am mastodon.social @SenseiDai. You are at the Mac Mommy everywhere, and we did not put down our...
I think we are...
Let me go look that
up.
We are geek.
We are something with geek in the title.
Yeah, you know? See, it's been a while. We are totally unprepared.
It has been a while. I totally forgot.
Let me see. I've got it right
on
here.
On Mastodon.
Okay, we are at geekiest show
at
ever.
At
techhub.social.
It's tech hub. That's what it was. I couldn't remember if it had hub in it. It is techhub.social.
And then basically at geekiest show.
Yes.
On Twitter, if you want to reach us that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so tell us what you think about the CarPlay experience. Maybe there's a setting or a feature that I'm missing out on, or maybe there's an app that I should download. Let me know. I'd really like to hear your ideas about CarPlay and what your experience is with it, and maybe I'll learn something new.
Yeah. With that, I do want to say thank you so much for listening. We will be back again in a couple of weeks, and until then, please stay safe.